And right now we're going to the phones where we are joined by Chuck Bentley. He is the CEO of Crown Financial Ministries, here to talk about all the stuff that's happening and new small business loans and loans for nonprofits and churches and things like that, and just all kinds of things and that would help us through this kind of crazy, crazy time. Chuck, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Well, good morning, Tommy and Jeff. It's great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for your time. Well, first off, tell us about Crown Financial Ministries.
We were started in 1976 by the late Larry Burkett. Larry wrote 70 books on the topic of personal finance from a biblical perspective. He really pioneered this space. And we're now 44 years old, and we help people understand how to be better stewards and what the Bible says about managing their resources. So we've been doing that a long time, and we now operate around the world.
And how have things changed, or has anything changed in terms of what you guys talk about? I guess more so what's your focus has been shifted. What are some of the key things just as individuals that we can do to help us financially get through this pandemic? And then we'll talk a little bit more about what the government's been offering.
Well, I've been talking to my children and our staff and people that are calling us and giving them some pretty simple advice. I think it's wise right now to cut back on your personal expenses by 25%, at least for the next 90 days. And that sounds a little extreme for some people, but I think there's just so much uncertainty as what's going to happen in the economy. So it's really just putting a pause on the outgo. Find ways to cut back on what you're spending, particularly on all your variable expenses, things that you have some control over every month. Just pull back on the stick there. Secondly, it's a great time to increase your savings. Every family's going to receive about anywhere an individual from $1,200 in a family up to maybe $3,000 or $4,000 sometime this month. And I'm recommending that if you don't have an emergency savings, then use that to build your emergency savings account. You need at least $1,000 in your emergency savings. About 40% of Americans went into this event without $1,000 in their emergency account. So build the emergency savings account. One that doesn't need that, then this is a time to sacrificially give. Generosity is going to be very, very important during this time. So those are the top three that I'm sharing with my family and staff and hoping people will consider just to be ready for what may lie ahead.
And you said cut by 25%, but let's be honest, if, like here in Ohio, there's nowhere to go and nowhere to spend our money.
Yeah, so we're already saving with when it comes to gas. I mean, gas prices are low.
Yeah, gas prices are low. We can't go out to eat. We can't go to the movies. We can't go and do anything. So it really is. I mean, if you were ever going to cut your expenses, now's the time to do it fairly painlessly because all the pain's been enforced on you.
Yeah, it is. Yet there's still a lot of people having boxes delivered from Amazon.
That's true.
Streaming, they're binge-watching Netflix. They're not checking their subscriptions on what is recurring every month that they may be able to cut back on. So it's a good time to just hit pause. What we see is so much uncertainty. The unemployment rate is certainly rising. We're not sure how long that's going to last. The markets seem to be indicating a lot of optimism. The last several days, they've been turning upward, which means a lot of people are expecting this to maybe not go as long as it was originally forecast. And so I'm real encouraged by that right now.
All right, so one of the other things that's happening, and this is something for churches, a lot of nonprofit ministries like ourselves, is the government has offered a loan/grant to help cover payroll and other expenses for nonprofits and for churches, not just for them, but they're included in this. And the way it goes is you can borrow up to a certain amount. If you don't make like any personnel changes and stuff like that, you don't have to pay it back. It becomes a grant, not necessarily a loan. So there's been a lot of discussion. I'm a pastor myself, Chuck, so I know I've been talking with a lot of other pastors about this. Do we take this? Is this something we should be taking advantage of? Debating back and forth the pros and cons. Our church has not done anything on it yet. But what do you see from your perspective of the wisdom of taking this or not taking this? And what advice are you giving to churches and nonprofit ministries?
Well, we had to make the same decision as an organization. We got a request from our bank to make application for it very early on. It's about a $250,000 decision. And so that's really significant and weighty. I took it to the board of directors and we went through our pros and cons and we looked up scripture whether we should do this or not. I want to say up front, it is legal. There's nothing wrong with taking it from the standpoint of, you know, violating any law. The SBA will allow religious organizations to take the money without repercussions. I think there's biblical examples for people receiving help from the government. Pharaoh helped the Jews when he put them in Goshen and survived the Great Famine, and Artaxerxes helped Nehemiah rebuild the wall. So it's not that there's a principle that says we can't do it. In our case, we saw the pros. It would help us through a hard time. It would protect our staff. and we felt like we could pay it back if we took it and, you know, it didn't become a grant. The negative side of it was it's taxpayer money. It looks like it's just a loan or a grant, but essentially it's coming from the taxpayer. And historically, we've never chose to borrow money for a problem that we've had, and we certainly have never looked to the government to bail us out. We also didn't want to communicate to our partners or donors that we felt like that this was a solution for us. We wanted to let them know that we would be looking to them to help us through the storm. So that was a personal decision for us. And then I want to just communicate to pastors, don't rush into this. You know, pause, pray about it, seek counsel, be very, very careful, because if your needs are great right now, I'm not sure they're going to get better if you take the loan or the grant, because what it's going to boil down to is, are God's people going to rise up and be faithful to support the church and the ministries right now? And I think that's really what needs to happen.
And so, Chuck, I know the opposite side, and I'm just going to give you some of the things that I'm hearing from my other pastors. A lot of concern because a lot of their people are out of work right now. They don't have much income, or their income's greatly reduced. As a result, their tithing's greatly reduced. And so they're facing these challenges, maybe, and many of them, you know, not, these aren't large churches. They're, you know, 100 people or less. And so they're facing tight budgets anyway. And their concern is, even with their people being faithful, there's less for them to be faithful with.
Yeah, I think that is a concern, and that's part of the pressure, and I think part of the reason that people appreciate that the government recognized. I understand the pressure that churches are feeling, but I think it's important to do the math. This loan is up to, I think, 2 or 2.5 months of your payroll. And let's say that the unemployment situation lasts much longer than that, then it's going to be really difficult on churches to even pay it back. Mm-hmm. Now, some say, well, it's going to become a grant, but it only becomes a grant if you're able to weather the storm. It's not, you know, payroll protection for 10 months. And I think it's estimated that this could be about a 10-month downturn. So I would just caution churches to do the math and be sure they don't get into a trap by accepting the money on a short-term basis, and then long-term, they still have the same problem.
And Chuck, what would you say are the key Bible verses that we would need to consider with all this?
Oh, there's a number of them. We obviously teach Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is a servant to the lender, and we don't want to be enslaved. We don't want to get ourselves subjected to federal legislation. One of my long-term concerns is that, you know, we become overly dependent or influenced by the state. We don't want to have a state-led church or a federal-led church. And I don't think that's the real caution here today. I think the long-term caution is, where are we going to place our confidence in our faith? We really believe that there's a lot of biblical examples of generosity in Acts chapter 11, when the apostles gathered at Antioch and they were first called Christians there. Agabus said, a great famine is coming. You know, we're all going to be suffering and hungry, and some may starve. And that was a horrible, frightening prophecy. And yet the apostles said, we've got a strategy. We're going to give. We're going to send help. And I think the church distinguishes itself in times like these. We have to sacrificially give. We have to be like the Macedonians, who said out of their extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity. We want to go against the natural desire to hoard or be afraid and trust God for his provision. And this is a time when the church separates itself. And, you know, what I would recommend to pastors who are in this crucible of pressure right now is to talk to their people and just be honest and transparent and say, I have the opportunity to do this. Do you support this, or could you help us? You know, I'm not getting any communication from churches right now that are telling me that they're wrestling with this and maybe we should rise up and help them before they do it. What I'm sensing is so many are just going ahead and applying as if it's some sort of life raft. And long-term, I think it's going to have tremendous backlash once the political winds shift and people start saying, well, you're a tax-exempt organization. You should have never taken taxpayer funds. That's already started. And so my caution is just be very, very careful before you jump into this.
And you gave an example of Ford Motor Company back in when the housing bubble blew up and the economy tanked and our automotive companies were all on the verge of collapse, you know, GM and Chrysler got bailouts. Ford refused it.
Yeah, Alan Mulally's book, American Icon, is really one of my top leadership books because he went into a very difficult problem with great optimism and wisdom, and he sorted out the issues quickly. And they decided not to accept the government bailout program, one of the only American manufacturer to do so. And it was difficult and it was challenging. But what happened is it increased the brand value of Ford Motor Company tremendously because their customer base recognized that they did some things that were courageous. They didn't depend on the taxpayers. They did it the way that most companies should do it, which is rely upon your own resources and your reserves. You know, one of the things my CFO said that helped me so much, when he gave this report to me, he said, Chuck, we qualify, you know, this grant possibly of $250,000, but we have some reserves to protect our people during this time, and that's what our reserves are for. This is when you use up your reserves. And so we decided that instead of taking this 2.5 month loan or grant, that we would use the reserves that God had given us and we were prepared for. Now, I realize there's some people that aren't prepared, and it's not profits to be prepared. We just happened to, you know, see the challenge in 08 and 09 and spend a lot of time and discipline to be ready for these days. And so we want to be a little bit more like Alan Mulally right now.
We're talking with Chuck Bentley, CEO of Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, do you have resources that people can go to both as individuals to help through this time and also churches and nonprofits?
Yeah, we do. We've created a special website at crown.org/coronavirus. My full letter is there, the article that I wrote about this issue, also how to start a crisis budget, updates on the impact of the stimulus for individuals and recommendations for what they can do with that, as well as just a whole lot of free resources. We've got our 7 steps to how to get through the pandemic financially. So hopefully people will take advantage of that. We're trying to help as many people as we can right now. And thank you, Tommy and Jeff, for allowing us to speak to your audience and keep up the great work there.
Appreciate that.
Well, thank we appreciate you. Your time, Chuck, with us. We really do. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you and God bless YesFM.